You sit here, you sit here. Why do we have to do this?
Yeah, it's never gonna work.
Sure it is. I saw it on TV. Little sisters and best friends who hate each other on the next Geraldo.
Give me a break.
Look, the idea is you guys can learn to be friends if you find things that you have in common. Now, each time you agree, you move your chairs closer. When you disagree, you move them apart. Understand?
We're not idiots.
Speak for yourself. Okay, what's your favorite book?
Charlotte's Web.
How to Pick Up Boys. There you go, you both read a book. Actually, I never read it. It's a book on tape. Moving right along. What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
There you go, Kimmy, you love pizza. Not as much as I love trout.
Deej, this is so stupid.
It sure is. There you go, you guys both agree it's stupid. Move your chairs closer. Now come on, let's keep going.
I don't want to keep going. You're always telling me what to do.
Yeah, she's so bossy. I'm sick of it.
We agree again.
And DJ's always late.
Oh, I know. The hairspray queen. She has to look perfect at all times.
I know what you mean. Do you know she's never complimented my hair?
Me neither.
I think you've got the idea. I've tried to tell her to chill out, but when she's on one of her power trips, forget it.
And did you ever watch TV with her?
I know. She never lets go of the remote.
Now that we're all friends, why don't we just change the subject?
Oh, and sharing a bathroom with her. Hey, you might as well just go down to the Texaco station.
I could go on for hours. Do you like frozen yogurt?
Love it.
Strawberry?
My favorite. Wow.
Let's go, yeah.
Girls, wait. I like frozen yogurt, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair.
You're listening to the Generation Y podcast, covering everything from the 90s and early 2000s.
Hello, everybody.
Hola, Tanneritos.
Okay, Kimmy. So clearly we're going to be talking today about
Full House.
Full House.
One of my favorites.
I think probably one of, I would say one of my favorites too from the 90s.
It's wholesome and corny and kind of makes you nauseous sometimes because it's so cheesy, but it's a classic.
It is a classic. So we'll be getting to that in just a few minutes. But first, we have to talk about 20 years ago today in today's news segment, talk about what happened in 1996.
That was so long ago.
20 years ago today, yes. It is, but it isn't, if you think about it.
I know. It feels like I posted this thing on Instagram. It said that I still feel like the 1990 was 10 years ago. And I'm like, that's so true. I still feel like it was 10 years ago. I still feel like I'm 18. So, do you feel like you're 18?
Not at all. I feel like I'm like 70.
That's so sad.
I know. Hence all the gray hair.
I'll stop.
And the creaking of the joints.
I'll calm yourself.
So clearly my wife is, and our beautiful co-host is young at heart, while while your co-host, me, the old curmudgeon over here.
Are you going to be yelling at kids to get off your lawn?
Absolutely.
Shaking your cane at them.
I will.
Okay, off topic.
Probably in 5 years.
Yes, most likely. Right, I'll be there with you.
So 20 years ago.
I'll throw my dentures at them. Okay, go. 20 years ago today.
20 years ago this week. So I picked, obviously there's a lot of stuff that happens in the news, and we picked the five best news stories that either for comedic value, entertainment, and or because they're huge stories even today. Number one is a record 35,000 people ran in the L.A. Marathon back in 1996.
Cool.
Number two, this one I got a real kick out of. IRS says online filing provides greater accuracy and a faster refund. So 20 years ago, so in 1995, the IRS did a pilot program with like 800 to 1,000 people that were allowed to file online. In 1996, they actually rolled that out to be nationwide. According to the article I read, it actually, even though obviously you can start filing as soon as you get your W-2s in the mail and at the end of January, they weren't able to roll out the online stuff until beginning of March. They gave folks like about a month and a half to do online filing. And obviously, from that point forward, the rest is history. I think almost everybody does it either online now, or they go to a person that does it for them, who then they do it online. I don't think very few people actually do the packets anymore. And
And if you do, you need to stop.
The big thing was the IRS had opened up back then, had opened up online filing for customers of America Online, primarily, and CompuServe. So talk about 90s.
I forgot about CompuServe.
CompuServe, yeah.
Wasn't that just like an AOL ripoff?
CompuServe. They were actually, if I remember right, and we can do an issue, yeah, it's not a magazine. We could do a episode sometime about 90s internet stuff, because that would be fun to do.
That would be fun.
CompuServe, I believe, was actually before AOL. AOL was just the big one, because they added things like the chat rooms and the instant messenger and some of the other stuff.
Good to know.
So, also 20 years ago this week, kind of like we're dealing with right now, and I'm sure I know I'm sick of hearing about it, is...
Oh, yeah.
Presidential election stuff. Bob Dole, that's a name you haven't heard of in a while, sweeps to victory in 8 primaries, including Georgia, Colorado, Connecticut, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Vermont. And of course, Bob. Something's wrong with me. I can't read stuff. Of course, Bob Dole.
He even practiced before. He said Lenalyn.
And the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
If you guys haven't seen Anchorman, it's from Anchorman.
So, Bob Dole, obviously, we all know, went on to lose to Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton had a second term in office. So, other big news, 20 years ago this week, Tupac Shakur. Let's start over with this, because I keep mispronouncing.
But it's funny. Things. No, leave it out. You're good.
Tupac Shakur is charged with carrying a loaded 9mm handgun in a car in Hollywood. Big no-no in L.A. And the last news story this week, Metallica and Soundgarden, 20 years ago this week, announced they would headline Lollapalooza. Also on the bill, The Ramones. So that's your top 5 news stories of 20 years ago this week.
Woo-hoo.
And so now onto one of my favorite parts that we're doing, because I love doing this the last episode, is our top 10 music chart per the Billboard Top 200.
It hasn't changed too much.
Yeah, there's a few new things on there. Yeah, there's a few new things on there. So... This week in 1996, number one on the chart still, One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. That's a classic. Number two, Not Gonna Cry from Waiting to Exhale by Mary J. Blige. Number three, Sittin' Up in My Room from Waiting to Exhale by Brandy. You notice that 3 of the songs in this list are from all the same soundtrack?
Yeah.
That's one thing about the 90s that you don't have now. That you had back then.
Mm-hmm.
When do you ever hear about a soundtrack being in the charts anymore?
Oh, we were just talking about this. What is that song that we always used to hear on the radio and they played a clip from this movie?
Secret Garden.
Yeah.
By Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, yes.
And there was a clip from some movie. What movie was that?
Was it Secret Garden?
Is there a movie called Secret Garden? This is bad.
I really don't know.
We're going to write in and
we'll
yell at
us.
We're Googling right now. But yeah, I mean, back then you had tons of songs. Like, do you remember when My Heart Will Go On was on the charts and played on the radio, and it had clips from Titanic right in the song. So that you're right, this song was featured on the Jerry Maguire soundtrack. Also, it's weird, also 1996. That's kind of funny, we're talking about this song was 1996.
Well, it was a hit in 1996.
It wasn't, never hit the top 10, but I'm sure at some point we'll play a clip of it and talk about it, because it's actually in April, so it hasn't quite come out yet. So, big hit in the top 40 and the adult top 40, and it was this is interesting. So, in 1997, this is the one we heard, an unauthorized remix known as the Jerry Maguire mix was released on a bootleg, and the mix was created by a DJ at the station, includes clips of dialogue from the film interspersed throughout the song's lyrics. So the version that we heard,
play that?
They must have, after it came out and it was unauthorized, they must have like said, okay, we're cool with this, because it was climbing the charts. I remember that song with the talking in between.
Yeah, we'll play it for you guys so you know what we're talking about.
You want to play a clip of that song? Yeah. All right.
If you pay the price, she'll let you deep inside. There's a
You gotta be fair to her. She loves you. If you don't love her, you've got to tell her.
She'll let you in her car.
Okay, back to the charts. I'm sure everyone knew that song. I forgot all about till you mentioned it. Did I mention this? Oh yeah, I already did number 3.
Yep.
Sitting Up in My Room from Waiting to Exhale by Brandy. Number four, Nobody Knows by the Tony Rich Project. Now, last week when we were talking about this song being in the charts, I did not know what it was. Until, well, let's do a clip of it real quick. Let's do that. Let's do a clip of it. Now that I hear this song, I do remember this song. I didn't think I did, but I do.
Yeah, I remember it.
What's with the weird face?
I don't know. I like to make weird faces sometimes.
It's not my fault that I'm old and forget things.
Yes, you do forget things.
So number five, Missing by Everything But the Girl. Played that one last week. Number six, Be My Lover by LaBouche.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to pronounce that and say LaBouche. It's not LaBouche. It's LaBouche. Number seven, a song that I've never heard. So
yeah,
if you heard this song growing up, write into us and tell us. Jesus to a Child by George Michael. I have no idea what that song is. We listened to 30 seconds of it earlier and you and I couldn't place it. Number eight, and the other song from the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack, Exhale, in parentheses, Shoop Shoop by Whitney Houston.
I don't like that word.
Shoop Shoop?
I just don't like it.
Wasn't there another song that was like Shoop,
yeah, Shoop Dee
Doop? Yeah, Shoop Dee Doop. Is that what they say?
Salt and shoop, Pepper. You're shoop, thinking of, you're shoop, thinking of Shoop by Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like Shoop-dee-doop. We're not drinking any wine tonight.
We are not while recording this podcast.
This is all natural. All right,
we're high on life.
Next, number nine.
Number nine, One of Us by Joan Osborne.
I forgot about this song. Do you remember when Dr. Evil and
yes.
Mini-Me
yes.
did this song?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. We'll play a clip of that one.
I like that song a lot.
I do.
I hated it back then, which is weird. I didn't like it when I was, you know, growing up back then. But now I kind of appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the message more is, I think the message is like you can not only understand what she's talking about, but you can it means more as an adult, I think.
Yeah,
than it does
as
your kid, you know, because people treat each other like crap and people don't act the way they should, and it'd be interesting if God or whatever you want to believe in was actually walking amongst us, because I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be very happy with things like some of the current state of things that are going on.
I wouldn't be.
Yeah, I won't get political because it's not a political podcast. But. And number 10, Till I Hear It From You by the Gin Blossoms. I love this band. I know that you, Amy, you're kind of like, I'm burnt out on the Gin Blossoms.
I am. I don't know why.
I don't know what station you're listening to, because, yeah, they got airplay back in the 90s, but you're listening to something, what, like 5-6 years ago, and they were playing
it
a lot?
Oh, yeah. They played the Gin Blossoms
some
all
station,
the time.
Some station here near us.
Yeah. It was constant, and
yeah, I
never got so burnt out.
I heard Hey Jealousy a lot growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I heard that one a lot, too.
But I never heard, I heard the other stuff, because they were hits. This is number 10. But I didn't hear it that much. So, like, to me, the Gin Blossoms is, like, one of the quintessential 90s bands. Like, they have so many good hits that came out in the 90s. So.
Yeah, I'm just burnt out with all their songs.
See, I'd love to go see them in concert sometime. That would
I'd
be fun.
I'd go see them. I mean, it would be a fun concert.
That's your top 10 from Mariah Carey this week and Boyz II Men down to the Gin Blossoms at number 10. If you guys enjoy this segment and our 20 Years Ago Today segment where we talk about the news, and if you have any other ideas for segments, please send us an email at
generationypodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram and the website, too. You can contact us through there.
The new website's not up yet, almost.
Yeah, Generation
Y. And Facebook.
Facebook. Yes, like us on Facebook. Our Facebook gets no love. Go to Facebook. But our website, generationypodcast.weebly.com.
Cool. All right, so now on to the main topic, Full House.
I love this show.
I love this show so much. Full House first aired on September 22nd, 1987. It ran until May 23rd, 1995, with all of the seasons airing on ABC. What was your first memory, or if you think of Full House growing up, is there a season that you remember watching more, or like an episode that comes to mind?
I have to think about that one. I remember watching it growing up, and I honestly, I saw all the seasons. I would watch it. There's not really one. There is one episode that kind of sticks out. The one where like DJ with the beer. She was at a school dance, and this kid she liked had a beer, and then spilled it on her. And then Uncle Jesse thought that it was her drinking it. Like, those are the episodes that kind of stick out in my mind. What about you?
Yeah, I think the one that sticks out for me, I mean, I definitely watched this growing up. It was on syndication, so I was one when it first aired. So I don't necessarily remember watching it when it was actually live on TV. Later on, I did watch it when it was live on TV in the later seasons, but it's weird, like, I know I watched it kind of all throughout. I definitely didn't watch every episode of every season. I kind of watched bits and pieces whenever it was on. But I think that, like, probably my earliest memory of Full House, which is weird, it must have been because it was in syndication and I just was watching, like, reruns, is I actually remember the earlier seasons when Michelle is a baby more than I remember the later. Like, I know you remember the later seasons,
yeah,
with, like, Steve and...
Yep.
And, you know, they were kind of growing up. I never watched, like, we went through and watched every season, a couple months ago?
Yep.
And we were watching them with our daughter and kind of introducing her to Full House, which she loves it. She's six, so. I'm watching the last two seasons. I'm like, I've never seen any of these. I don't remember them. My last memory of Full House growing up was probably, like, right when Becky found out she was pregnant before she had the twins. Like, I don't remember this twins being on the show.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. The first season I don't remember, but it's the earlier seasons, kind of 2, 3, 4, that I remember watching. Like, a lot of those episodes I could recall when we went back through and watched them. And it had to have been because, obviously, you know, once it aired on ABC, it would air on syndication. And I do know that the local ABC station that we had growing up, I would watch, which is really weird. But they'd have a couple different things in syndication. For folks that don't know, I should probably explain what syndication is. So a show will air... You know, air only on ABC, and like this show, for instance, or CBS, or depending whatever network it's on, it will air, and they'll air that episode, that season, and then for a while it doesn't air ever again. Your only hope of watching it back in the 70s, you were screwed. You couldn't watch it because there wasn't like home video then, really. Later on, your only hope was hopefully to get it on VHS or DVD, and there weren't tons of TV shows on home video. That was more movies. That was more of a, now like a later thing, now that we have DVDs, everything's on home video. But they had something called syndication, where your local little affiliate channels could pick up shows and pay money to basically buy shows as filler to just air stuff, so there'd be content to watch. And so I know when I got home from school, the local ABC affiliate in Vermont, where we live and where I grew up, would air Star Trek The Next Generation. That was always, like, on, like, right before dinner, and they always aired Full House, and it was always, like, earlier seasons, so I always watched it on, you know, on syndication. You know, I'd go home from school, I'd have a snack, I'd do some homework, and then it was Star Trek and then Full House, and that was me growing up. That's what I remember. So do you want to go through, I'll have you go through, you know, kind of the cast and who, and the premise behind the show, and
yeah,
how everything started?
Yep. Right. So, John Stamos... Of course, everybody knows who he is. He was Uncle Jesse. And it's actually really funny. He wasn't actually going to be Uncle Jesse when they first came up with the show. I have it written down in here what his name was going to be. I should have...
Well, I think it's probably in our little known facts, yeah. which we'll do later. We'll do the history first, then we'll go over our little known facts.
Sounds good. So you have Bob Saget as Danny Tanner, and Bob Saget, he's a comedian. You have Dave Coulier as Joey Gladstone. He's also a comedian, not just in the show, but in real life. Candace Cameron as DJ Tanner.
Now, Candace Cameron is
married.
What? Well, not that. Candace Cameron's brother is Kirk Cameron, who is famous from being on Growing Pains, and now does, you know, some movies once in a while.
Yep, and then we have Jodie Sweetin as Stephanie Tanner.
How rude.
She, a lot of people know her because she came out, what was it, like a memoir or a book? She, I guess, is a recovering drug addict from very, like, hardcore drugs, meth, and... all of that jazz.
Yeah, we can talk more about that.
We're going to get into that. You have Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, who both played Michelle Tanner.
Which you could tell them apart.
I can.
I could not.
Because they're not identical.
That's funny.
I can tell them apart. I've been able to, I think it's because I grew up watching them so much. Yeah, like, you're all their videos.
You're a big Mary-Kate and Ashley fan.
I was huge. My room was covered in their posters.
Did you buy their clothes?
Oh, yeah. Bought their clothes. Bought all their little, their videos that they did, like, To Grandmother's House We Go, and, like, our first video, and the sleepover, and, like, the detective ones. I had them all. So then we have Lori, I never know how to pronounce her last name.
Laughlin?
Laughlin, as Rebecca Donaldson, who is Uncle Jesse's wife. Andrea Barber as Kimmy Gibbler, who is my favorite. I love her.
You do love Kimmy.
She's my favorite character.
So, Steph, you'll do anything to make it up to me?
This is my worst nightmare. Okay, Kimmy, I deserve this. What do you want?
Well, actually, I haven't had a pedicure in my whole life.
Ew, gross! Not the sock referee!
Did you have a Kimmy growing up? Or were you a Kimmy? Were you the Kimmy?
I was not the Kimmy.
You were not the Kimmy.
But I said to myself, we were watching this, I was like, you know, I would love to have a best friend like Kimmy. That would make your life, like,
see, I know
so
most of your
fun.
Friends growing up, and none of them are Kimmy.
No, none of them are
None Kimmy. Of them are, like, as weird or as out there as Kimmy.
Sometimes I feel like I was the Kimmy. Honestly, I do sometimes feel like I was the Kimmy, because people always were like, what the heck is she doing? I was, like, always saying something weird or doing something weird, and I think I was sometimes the Kimmy. Scott Wegner, yep. Wagner as Steve, who was DJ's boyfriend.
Also the voice of Aladdin.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know until you pointed it out, and now every time I watch it, I think it's Aladdin.
Yeah.
I just can't get that out of my head.
Blake and Dylan. Tuomi Wilhoit.
Yep, that sounds good to me.
As Nikki and Alex, who are the twin boys that Uncle Jesse and Becky have.
Do you want to go through the premise of what the show is about?
Yeah, so it's very wholesome, family-friendly show.
Which they definitely, like, it's something that there's a lot of people who are, like, we all grew up watching it, and it was very popular. There's a lot of fans of the show, but they got killed in the reviews because it was almost, at times, sickeningly sweet. It was, yeah. It's corny.
Violin.
But it's, like, I don't know. Like,
the dad talks.
I watch it, and, you know, there's sometimes you kind of cringe because it's corny, but, like, I'm going to anger a lot of people right now by saying this. We've gone through, and we've watched a lot of, and obviously we had a TGIF episode before. We watched a lot of these shows, right? And so you and I watched, we watched all Full House and enjoyed watching. I'd go back through and watch, and we probably will watch them all again, mm-hmm. even though it was corny. Now I watch stuff like, we watched Family Matters, mm-hmm. and I feel like this holds up a lot better than Family Matters does.
Yeah.
I just feel that way.
A lot more than Family Matters.
Like, Family Matters is still great, still has a special place in my heart, in my childhood, and we'll still, you know, watch it, but I feel like this holds up a lot better. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's, maybe it's because that, you know, obviously, yeah, Urkel is a cultural icon, and, you know, some of these other shows, they were cultural icons, but Full House, you have Uncle Joey. Everyone knows who Uncle Joey is. There's so many good characters on this show. Uncle Jesse, you know, Danny, you know, Kimmy. The crazy dad that, like, is cleaning everything. Like, it just, I don't know, it just gets ingrained in you. It's like inside of all of us that grew up watching this show.
So, I don't know what I was saying. You rudely interrupted.
Sorry, I had a mind train, and if the mind train comes through,
true.
If I don't say it, I'm going to forget about it because I'm old.
And that's just going to run jokes. You over. I'm going to buy you a cane for your birthday.
Okay.
All right. So, like I said, it's a wholesome show. You'll never find really, like, any inappropriate jokes or anything of that such.
Yeah.
So, basically, what the show is about is Danny Tanner loses his wife in a car accident. And he's left to raise his three girls, Michelle, DJ, and Stephanie.
You find out later that it was a drunk driver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You find out later on in the show. So he's left alone with his three girls, and obviously, you know, he's the dad. He's a good dad, but, you know, he has no idea how to raise three kids.
And he works. He has a career.
He works. So he calls in his friend Joey and his late wife's brother, who's Uncle Jesse.
Put the baby.
Where do we put the child?
The pot. Over here.
Whoa, Joey, this is a living thing. You don't just stick it in a pot. Use a meat rack.
I'm an idiot.
Come
on. Okay.
All right, good.
All right,
settle
great.
Down here. There we go.
Are you going to cook Michelle?
We're changing her diaper.
Oh, then how do you roast a turkey?
Steph, Joey and I are busy. Joey, stripper. All right, careful there. You're in control. Yeah. All right, slide it off and...
They come in and they move in and they try and help raise the kids. And it's just, there's funny moments where, you know, Joey and Jesse can't figure out how to change the
baby's diaper.
Oh, yeah.
And they have her like in the roasting dish or whatever.
And they spray her bum with the hose. Like, there's just funny moments like that. But all in all, I think it's a really good show. And they all become, you know, really close, like one big happy family.
Definitely, like, at first, that first season's a little weird because Joey, I think, from the word go, was, like, because you almost feel bad for Joey because he, like, never has a steady girlfriend. Is kind of, you can tell he's kind of lonely.
Yeah.
And this gives him a family that he didn't have. And so he's all in. Jesse, on the other hand, is this motorcycle riding...
bad boy.
You know, he's a rock musician. He plays in a band, Jesse and the Rippers. He... is reluctant those first couple seasons to, like, he can tell he loves his family, but he's like, oh, do I really want to do this? Am I giving something up that I'm never going to get back? I'm young. I can date, you know, whatever woman I want. You know, should I do this? And obviously, in the end, he actually becomes, I think, he has those girls wrapped around his finger even more than anybody else. He becomes kind of like that second dad to them.
Yep.
And Uncle Joey's kind of just the goofy uncle that, you know, that's always there making him laugh and stuff.
He was my other favorite.
I love Joey. So in season two, like we're talking about, you know, the reluctance, but in season two is kind of where things, I think, where it really hits its stride. In fact, there were some rumors, they actually had that, remember that made-for-TV movie we watched? It wasn't very good, but it gives you a little bit of insight. It was like the behind-the-scenes, it aired on Lifetime, it's like the unauthorized Full House story. But after season one, they almost canned it because the ratings were horrible. People just didn't like it, but season two they start to hit their stride. So Danny, who at that point was a sports anchor, he's reassigned from his duties as sports anchor at the station to become co-host of a local morning television show, Wake Up San Francisco, and they bring in Nebraska native Rebecca Donaldson.
Wake up.
Good morning.
It's time to wake up.
And Jesse. For the I think probably all of season two and then maybe part of season three is the minute he sees Rebecca, he's like, I've got to be with her. Even though he's still dating other women every weekend and he's trying and she's just resisting all of his attempts. You know, she's a good girl. She's a farm girl. She's like, well, who is this real like slick hair like guy? Get him away from me. But they end up falling in love, and they end up getting married in season four, which is a really memorable episode as well. A two-parter, I believe.
Yeah.
and we're not going to go through season by season. I'm sure at some point, just like we talked, said we would with Roseanne, we're going to go through at some point and do like an episode on season one, an episode on season, because there's so many good episodes, we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
But we're just kind of glossing over it right now. But they get married in season four. In season five, Becky announces that she's pregnant and then gives birth to twin sons, Nikki and Alex.
I wonder if Aunt Becky told Uncle Jesse about the baby yet.
I don't think so. We haven't heard him scream. Man, he's on a roll today. He's having a baby. He might have a record deal. And he's having a great hair day.
I'm done. You'll never guess.
Big Bird.
You guys are good at this.
Hey, you guys, I got the greatest news in the world.
We know. Way to go.
I haven't told you yet. Oh. I guess you can tell by my face how I'm beaming.
We sure can. Congratulations on your miracle.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a miracle. I mean, it took a lot of hard work. You know, at the risk of being vain, some natural raw talent, too. I mean, you know, I've been practicing for years. In friends' garages. Basements. And listen, when the big night comes, I want you all there with me and Becky screaming and yelling and holding up lighters and chanting, Jesse, Jesse, Jesse. What?
What are you talking about?
Talking about going on tour with my band. What do you,
boy, oh boy, is my stomach hungry. Honey, would you mind going into the kitchen and getting me a nice big chunk of beef jerky? Thank you so much, sweetheart. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Are you trying to get rid of me?
Oh, no, not at all. Now beat it.
You didn't tell him about the baby yet?
Well, I started to, but he was so excited about going on tour and not having any responsibilities that I chickened out.
You have to tell him.
You're right, Danny. I'll just look him straight in the eye and say, Jess, you want to play picture charade?
No.
Sure you do. Of course you do. Yes, you do. Just come right back here, honey, and have a seat right over there. Now, everybody, this game is just for Jesse, okay?
All right, Jess, you just sit right there and pay very close attention.
All right. Now, it's a movie title.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
No, Michelle, that's cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah, but it's a movie title.
Oh, except Dances with Cheese.
No.
Driving Miss Cheesy.
No.
Oh, I got it. Home Provolone, right?
Next clue.
Half. Okay, cheese half. Cheese.
Oh, okay, great. Next clue.
Bottle. Beaker, bottle, vase, ink!
Gee, you're good, Uncle Jesse.
Pretty good. Okay, cheese, half, ink. Cheese, half, ink. She's having...
Yes! Right. Yes! Okay, last clue!
She's having a hot dog!
No!
Well, what? It's clearly a bum with a wiener sticking out with a happy face.
Jess, it's not she's having a hot dog, it's she's having a baby, and the she is me. I'm having a baby.
Oh, you're having a good... Did you hear that? She's having... What? You're having a baby? How did this happen? Well, I know how it happened. Really? You know what this means? We're having a baby! I'm gonna be a father! Oh, no.
At that point, Becky decides to move in, and they move up to the attic of the house.
Kind
of have their own little
house.
Apartment. Oh yeah.
But this is actually a fun fact. A lot of people, well, I guess most everybody knows that Michelle was played by twins Mary Kate and Ashley, and it was because they needed to comply with the child labor laws, so they were cast to alternate the role of Michelle during tapings, and they originally they didn't want people viewers to know that they were twins. So, and you'll see this too if you see the beginning credits.
Oh, yeah.
They were jointly credited as Mary Kate Ashley Olsen.
That's weird.
Instead of Mary Kate and Ashley.
I never thought about that.
And they did that in season 2-7 because the producers didn't want us to know that they were twins.
But I'm sure at that point, by season 6 or 7, the cat's out of the bag because they're then on other things and they're famous.
Yep.
And... So, all right, so let's do our little known facts of Full House. I love when we do this part of the show and kind of talk about facts people don't know. So let me scroll up to the top of our page here. So little known facts about Full House. Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen are fraternal twins. They are not identical. So not only does Ashley have a freckle above her lip, but she's also right-handed, while Mary Kate is left-handed. That's why Michelle appeared to be ambidextrous throughout the show. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Eating and writing with both of her hands.
See, the way that I tell them apart is I don't notice, like, the freckle or the hands or anything. Just their face shape is totally different and their facial expressions. And even the way Ashley talks.
I noticed the expressions.
Ashley talks more, like, sweeter and, like, a little bit more, not proper, but, like, Mary-Kate has always been a little bit more rough around the edges. And you can just tell. But by her energy that she exudes.
So is Ashley the one they use in all, like, the real, like, emotional scenes, then?
Yeah, yep. No, it is. And Mary-Kate was used for the more fun scenes, I guess you would say. Like
being crazy and running around.
Yeah, yep. And it was kind of the same thing throughout their entire career. Like, if you watched Two of a Kind, a lot of people don't know this show because it was only on, I think, for one season. But it was actually a really good show. I think it was on ABC Family or Fox Family. And even in their movies.
It was on TGIF for a season.
I'm trying to think, what was that movie where they were twins? And they one was an orphan and the other was rich. I can't think of the name of it. You're probably, like, yelling right now.
Write us in, tell us, if you know.
I can't believe I forgot. I've seen. Oh, It Takes Two.
Yeah, it came to you.
But like in all those videos and all those movies, Ashley always played the girly one with the dresses, and Mary Kate was always the sporty one. And I think that was really their personalities in real life, from what I see.
So by the time season 6 started production, because they looked so different, audiences could, I still can't, but apparently they can, like you can, could tell them apart. And so the producers actually considered giving Mary Kate the role of, really? This doesn't make any sense. Because I feel like Ashley's the better actress. But they considered giving Mary Kate the role of Michelle full-time. Until John Stamos, who definitely was at that point a big cheerleader for Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, put his foot down and said he did not want them actually leaving the show because of the Olsen twins' growing popularity, and that they need to stay as a group together because they had some chemistry. And which is kind of interesting considering the fact that, and this is another little known fact, that the Olsen twins were fired from the show for, must have been for like 3 seconds,
yeah,
for crying too much back in season 1.
Yeah.
And again, we already said it, but you know, Olsen twins lore says the rumor is, and I think you've kind of confirmed this while we've watched it, because you can tell them apart, that Mary-Kate got the more fun scenes, you know, the more action scenes, and Ashley got the more serious moments. So during, like, the dad talks with the violin music.
Mm-hmm. One episode really sticks out in my mind when you can really tell them apart is when Jesse buys a Smash Club. They had an episode where it was opening night.
That one, yeah.
Yeah.
They had R.E.M.
Yes.
End up being this, like, old bunch of old ladies.
Yeah. And Michelle got it in her head somehow that she needs to be, like, a bad girl.
Oh, yeah.
Dress up in, like, a leather jacket. And, you know, so she had a leather jacket. And then in another scene, she was back in her normal dress with her hair pulled back. And you can totally tell the one in the dress is Ashley and the one in the leather jacket is Mary-Kate.
That's funny.
It's kind of neat, yeah.
So back to what we were talking about before about different names for characters and whatnot. Uncle Jesse was almost known as Uncle Adam. When John Stamos signed on to doing Full House, his character's name was Adam Cochran. And thankfully, because that name is horrible,
yeah.
His first name was changed to Jesse before the pilot aired, and then Stamos himself later requested that his last name became Katsopoulos to reflect the fact that he has a Greek heritage. Now, his name is Cochran in the first season, right? Don't they refer to that? They don't refer to him as Katsopoulos.
I don't think so.
I think if you remember, I don't think they talked about his last name during the first season.
I don't remember that part.
If you know the answer to that, write in and tell us. But I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I don't think that he used the name Katsopoulos. At least you don't hear about it early on, I don't think. I think that was, like, later, that they mentioned it later on in the show.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But if you remember, or you know the answer, write in and tell us. I could be wrong. You can call and tell me I'm an idiot. It wouldn't be the first time.
Stop.
Stop what? It's true.
Don't out my name-calling adventures.
No, not you. Oh. People.
I just submitted that
question. You submitted, you called me an idiot on the podcast. Nice.
No,
others. Others.
Oh.
Others,
oh.
Not you.
Okay. Next.
This is a weird one. Only one episode was ever filmed in San Francisco. So the season 8, well, actually this makes sense, season 8 episode of called Comet's Excellent Adventure is the only episode actually taped in San Francisco, because there's a lot of exterior shots of him running down the hills and, like, him at landmarks and stuff. And the rest of the series run was filmed in Los Angeles.
Yeah. You can also Google map the Full House house, the actual house. I did it the other day. Here, keep talking. I'll look up the address in case anybody
wants. We got it on here.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Where is it?
You're skipping ahead, you.
1709 Broderick Street in San Francisco.
So you can actually go see it.
And do the street view and, like, walk down the street. It's so cool.
Okay, so there's this really funny picture. Do you remember seeing that on Instagram?
Yeah.
So John Stamos is out in front of the house, standing there. Like, he's there on vacation or something, because he doesn't live there. But he's out in front of the house, and he's standing there, and there's these, like, three, like, a couple and then another guy. They must be friends. And they're taking a selfie of the house, standing next to John Stamos, with no idea that Uncle Jesse's literally standing next to them, and they could have gotten a selfie with Uncle Jesse and the house in it.
That's too funny.
They must have been kicking themselves in the ass after they saw that on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, how did we miss that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, this one is something that I didn't know until we watched it, and it's weird.
So comedian John Posey was originally hired for the role of Danny Tanner, but unfortunately for him, and fortunately for Bob Saget, he was replaced after filming the pilot. Because Posey was in the middle of moving to Los Angeles for his big TV break, and he got a phone call while moving and heard the news that, yeah, we're replacing you.
That's so sad, though.
It's sad, but if you watch that pilot, it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
That show would have been canceled after one season.
It's on the internet, the original Full House pilot. It's so weird.
I think you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have worked.
No, I can't picture it.
And it's not because he's not a good actor. Maybe it's hindsight's 2020, mm-hmm. and we've seen it so much we've grown up with Bob Saget playing Danny Tanner, him being the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, that we just can't imagine it because it's always been that way. I don't know, but I still think though that it just wouldn't have worked.
I feel like their chemistry
is different.
There.
Yeah, the chemistry between especially Jesse and Joey and Danny is pretty much non-existent in that pilot. And then when you have that first episode with Danny, which is the same episode, by the way. So you can watch the pilot, and you can watch the first episode that aired on TV. Same exact script, two different Dannys, and there's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Number six, Full House was actually going to be a completely different show with a different plot. It was going to be called House of Comics. The idea was to have comedians Bob Saget and Dave Coulier living in a house together.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, but the network pulled the plug on that idea and opted for something more family-oriented.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have had the kids, you wouldn't have had Uncle Jesse. I mean, I think the draw is that they're a family, but they're a very, not I don't want to say unnatural, but they're very, they're a mixed-up, jumbled family. And I think for a lot of folks in the 90s and the late 80s, people weren't talking about people who either had divorced or were, widowed or, these families that were these broken families that come together. But it's very much a reality. And there was they were a family. They were just an unorthodox family is the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't imagine that without Uncle Jesse or the kids. What would the plot be? You have two guys that are comics living in a house.
I don't know.
So number seven, the Tanner family pet was a pretty famous doggy actor. Aside from playing Comet, the dog, in all six seasons of Full House, the friendly canine was also the star of the 1997 classic Disney film Air Bud, which the minute you know that, you can tell. Even though I know a lot of dogs look the same, but you can totally tell it's Air Bud. And I didn't know that. I actually watched Air Bud a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
It was a favorite of mine.
And he was nominated for a Kids' Choice Award in 1998.
That's cool.
Which is really awesome.
And also, unfortunately, I think right around that time, passed away a little bit later.
That makes me feel really sad.
Very sad. But he will live on.
Yeah. And another fact about Mary-Kate and Ashley, they landed the role of Michelle because they're the only two babies at the audition who didn't cry.
That's funny. And number nine, we already did. Looking to visit the Tanner home in person is located at 1709 Broderick Street in San Francisco. And that house, he's a multi-million dollar house.
I bet.
But even back then it was. So it's kind of weird. It's a very famous home in San Francisco, even before Full House even aired. It's in a famous part of town. So it's kind of weird. You think about a single dad with his three kids. He's a sports anchor, and he's living in a $2 million house. If you didn't, obviously we didn't know that watching the show growing up, but it's funny. Maybe. Number 10, one of my favorites. Uncle Joey used to date Alanis Morissette. In fact, their breakup inspired her to write the hit song You Oughta Know.
We'll play a clip of that song. You remember it.
We're going to have to either edit it and put some bleeps in, or play it. We'll find a clean part of the song. We'll play it right now.
And it's still a wicked popular breakup song.
That's
today.
A good song. It's I love a good that song. Song. When you hear about it, you think of Uncle Joey as being wholesome and
yeah.
Stuff. You hear that, you're like, oh.
And then you listen to the lyrics of the song, and it's very vulgar, and you're like, I can't picture Uncle Joey doing that.
But then again, Uncle Joey, if you watch, and we'll play the clip in a minute, but Uncle Joey, if you watch his stand up, he is very clean. Mm-hmm. We'll get into Bob Saget in a few minutes, which is the exact opposite. But Uncle Joey is very, very clean. He is kind of. I've seen videos of him meeting fans. He's very, kind of friendly, family oriented. He's not, some telling dirty jokes. It's all cartoon stuff and whatnot. So when you saw him doing stand-up on Full House, that's not very far removed from what he actually did in real life, because he really was that sort of comic. So in January of 2014, Bob Saget, Stamos, and Coulier all appeared in the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and they each reprised their characters. I remember this. While Fallon was dressed in children's pajamas in a bed framed by four gigantic pencils, looked just like Michelle Tanner's bed.
That was awesome.
And they said some of their favorite catchphrases from the show, as well as singing the teddy bear song to put Jimmy Fallon to sleep.
It's too funny. And, you should go watch it.
And they also appeared together in a 2014 commercial for Danone Greek yogurt, which Stamos serves as a spokesperson, which is kind of ironic because he's Greek. And that debuted on during the Super Bowl, and that was a couple days after they showed up on Late Night. So, clearly, with all this going on in 2014, the rumors really started that they were working on maybe doing some sort of sequel or spinoff. And I remember for a long time they said, no, it's not happening, it's not happening. They denied it. And then, finally, John Stamos said the news that we all wanted to hear, that he was heading up the attempt to get the series back into production. And so Netflix closed the deal to produce a 13-episode sequel titled Fuller House, and almost all the original cast members actually signed back up.
Except for the Mary-Kate and
Ashley. For the Olsons, yeah. So they claimed they were not approached to return in the role of Michelle, and John Stamos said, no way, we asked them, and they said no. And Netflix came out and said that they would love to have the Olsen twins in Fuller House. I feel like it would be hard because they really look even more different now. So different. I don't know how you would do it.
I don't know.
You have to pick one of them to be in it or something. It'd be weird.
Yeah, I have no idea. A lot of makeup to face angles and stuff.
Now, we'll talk in a minute about what our reflections and our kind of review. We've watched, 11 episodes
of Fuller House?
I
love it. If you have not watched it, you should. It's the first episode, you're kind of like, okay, it's kind of weird, it's a little cheesy at moments, but once you get into it, it is so funny. They make jokes about the first show, Full House, and
well, that's what I was gonna say. I'll give a little more of a review in a minute.
Oh, it's funny.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I was in midstream. I was in midstream here. Said in a minute we'll talk about our thoughts.
Sorry, I'm on a rampage.
Amy's very excited about Fuller House.
I am.
But what I was gonna say was they actually reference it in the show. They make multiple jokes about the Olsen twins not being in this. Like, they look at the camera and say something about them being in
New York working on their fashion empire.
Michelle, rather, because they all talk about Michelle being in New York working on her fashion empire. And at one point, is it Kimmy's daughter on the show? It says she went out and bought a bunch of Mary-Kate and Ashley, outfits. And she's like, well, the prices they're charging for these, no wonder why they don't need to act anymore. Like, it's really funny.
It's a good show.
Filming began in July of 2015, and like the original series, the show is set in San Francisco. It's actually set in the exact same house that the original series was set in, and it's more centered around the new kind of. So you had Danny, Jesse, and Joey. Well, now you have DJ, Stephanie, and Kimmy as the new family in the house. And so the first episode, it was a reunion of all the family, and after that, you know, it's. There's been guest appearances on most of them from different members of the cast. You'll have Aunt Becky in one. You'll have Jesse in one. We just watched one that had Danny in it. They had Joey in one of them. But so you can finish your thoughts now.
No, I don't remember my thoughts now. Thank you.
Nice. Nice. I
really enjoy it. There are so many negative reviews, but I think it's
tons
coming
of negative reviews.
It's coming from people who are expecting it to be some hit sitcom. 2016, Big Bang Theory type thing, and it's not. I mean, it's a spinoff, a reunion show of a show that from the 80s and the 90s.
But in some ways, it is a little. What was jarring for me is it is a little modern.
Yeah.
They film it completely differently. It's filmed kind of with different camera angles. It's filmed more in a modern style.
And the jokes are more adult.
There's definitely some adult jokes. I think that they do a well enough job of. They're there was a joke about the Kama Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in a way that, if you had kids that were, 8, 10 years old, I don't think they would get the jokes. I think they'd kind of be over their head.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some jokes in there that they're aimed towards us, because I think they knew who was their audience for this. Kids from the 90s, that are basically in their late 20s, early to mid-30s. that are now going to watch this because they watched it growing up. So they make it still sort of family friendly, but they bury some stuff in there for adults. And I have to admit, when I watched the first episode with the reunion, I was kind of like, eh.
Can I tell a secret? What? That's not going to be a secret anymore.
What?
You'll be like, oh yeah. So I'm a very emotional person. And when it comes to nostalgia, I'm like really emotional. So we started the show and like they have like the first clip, the opening scene. And then all of a sudden they switch over to the theme song and everything. Yeah. I started crying. I was like, oh my god, my childhood.
Because it's the same theme song. It's a re-recorded version.
It's a re-recorded version, and they like kind of they show clips throughout the different stages of everybody's life, and then it hit me, and I just started crying. I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. Like, I just think it's so cool. Like, I don't even care if it's a good show. I just think it's really cool that they're doing it.
I think it's a great show.
Yeah, it is
a good show. Like, the first episode, I was kind of like, like, it was nostalgic, but...
It takes a few episodes for them to really get into it.
Yeah, there was something kind of missing in the first couple episodes, but then they definitely hit their stride. I just think they do a good job. I was really nervous that I was going to hate it.
The acting is good, too.
I was nervous I was going to hate it, and I like it a lot. Yeah, we've binge-watched
it. And it's been renewed for season two.
It has been renewed for season two, yes, which is... 90s kids rejoice around the world.
Yeah. So, where are they now? All right. So, Bob Saget, he was Danny Tanner, obviously. We all know this. He, you know, he just went on with his comedy career. Very, very dirty, like, even shocked me, comedy routines. And that's what he's kind of known for. And he was like that, too, before he played Danny Tanner. That's why they were hesitant to cast him as Danny Tanner.
Well, if you watch the unauthorized thing, that that made-for-TV movie that was on Lifetime.
What's the
Lifetime?
Name of it? Let me find the name of it.
It's called The Unauthorized Full House Story is what I think
it's
called. They show that, like, he would make, like, not that they were super dirty in front of the kids, but he'd make, like, fart jokes and, like, poop jokes, and he would say things like, the parents got offended, like, what is he doing this in front of my kids?
The story behind Full House.
Yeah, the unauthorized Full House story right there. So he was known as a dirty comedian, but I think he's ratcheted it up. Because I think his fear was, because he was Danny Tanner, and then he was the guy from America's Funniest Home Videos. And so his fear was that he would always be cast as like this wholesome, all-American dad, and that's not what he wanted to do. Even though I feel like later in life, like now, I feel like he kind of embraces, in a way, Danny. I feel like he kind of didn't like playing Danny when he was younger, even though he did it because it was a job and he was getting paid really well for it. I feel like now he kind of embraces it, and I did read an interview where he says that he's much more at peace with Danny Tanner now, and he enjoyed doing Fuller House, where earlier on he did not enjoy doing Full House. You watch that made-for-TV movie, and honestly, and obviously we don't know if that's really who he was, Bob Saget, because all the cast, they love each other. So clearly he couldn't have been a huge jerk if they love each other. But when we watched that movie on Lifetime, the unauthorized Full House story, he kind of pissed me off. I was like, I would be so annoyed.
Look like kind of a jerk,
yeah. But I do like him. I love Danny Tanner and that character, and I like Bob Saget a lot. And so he released a memoir in 2014 called Dirty Daddy, The Chronicles of a Family Man Turned Filthy Comedian. You know, he's done other stuff too. He's known as the voice of the older Ted from How I Met Your Mother. The entire show, he does the voiceover of older Ted kind of talking to his kids. He also included a few Full House alumni in the cast of an animated film that he did called Farce of the Penguins. It was like a spoof movie.
So John Stamos, Uncle Jesse, he was in ER from 2006 to 2009. He's a pitchman for Dana's Greek Yogurt. He has done a number of Full House projects. After headlining two short-lived TV series, Thieves and Jake in Progress. I've never heard of either of those.
Jake in Progress, I loved a lot. It was good. We should watch some of them. I was sad when they got canceled. Thieves, I never saw. I never saw that.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but well, actually, you probably do if you've seen Full House. The Beach Boys were featured a lot in Full House. And it's kind of cool because we were watching a clip from a Beach Boys concert, and he stepped in and didn't he sing? Or he played
Forever.
The drums?
He sang Forever. A couple times, because obviously, if you're a Beach Boys fan, you know that Dennis Wilson, who was the drummer, the brother who sang the song Forever originally, passed away. So, and obviously when Jesse, like when his character, when Jesse and the Rippers did Forever during, you know, they sang it during the wedding, to when he sang it to Becky, and then it became this big hit in Japan on the show and stuff. It was actually a hit in real life, too. It actually hit the charts, and it went up the charts. So he's kind of famous for that. That's kind of his, like, one-hit wonder single. But he's toured with the Beach Boys. He's played drums with the Beach Boys. He's played guitar with the Beach Boys. I've seen the Beach Boys twice. Well, not really. Once, that really wasn't the Beach Boys, but they call it the Beach Boys as two of the guys in it. And Jesse wasn't Jesse. John wasn't there. And then I saw them when they did the reunion tour in 2012, and John wasn't there, but he was at other shows. So much I was upset because I missed out on seeing him live, which would be fun to see. But he also sings and dances. Like, he's a pretty musically talented guy, right?
Yeah. And he was in several Broadway productions, including How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Cabaret, and Bye Bye Birdie. So that's pretty cool. And I actually didn't know this until you told me this about Lori Loughlin. I can never say her name. Oh, my God. And John Stamos. They actually, off and on throughout their entire life, had feelings for each other.
They dated initially.
And they dated.
Very early on, before Full House.
Yeah. And they dated and they broke up. But they were never single at the same time. And John Stamos actually referred to Lori as she was the one that got away.
That's kind of powerful.
Yeah. So next, Dave Coulier. He still does the comedy club.
Definitely very clean, his comedy. Yeah. We watched a clip, and it's still funny, but it's very family-friendly. He does a lot of impressions, his thing, as he did on the show. Joey did would do a lot of impressions of, like, different cartoon characters.
He married Melissa Bring in 2014. Yeah, that's really all. He's still just doing comedy.
Yeah, I keep going on his website because he tours. And the closest he's gotten is Pennsylvania, and I would love for him to do Burlington or something, you know, somewhere near us, because we're in Vermont.
Well, only 9 hours from Pennsylvania.
I would go in a heartbeat
to go
see him.
I would totally go see him. That would be awesome. And then we have Candace Cameron, who's DJ, and she's married to the hockey player.
Yeah, Valerie Bure.
Yeah, it was actually Dave Coulier who introduced her to her husband, who she married in 1996. So what had happened with her is she kind of took a break from acting for a while to concentrate on raising her children. She's a committed Christian. She said that when she returned to acting, she made sure to only do work that fit her ideals, which is kind of
weird. Yeah, I was reading through your show notes earlier when you made this, and it's, yeah, there's some jokes in Fuller House that, granted, like we said, they're kind of above kids' heads, they don't get it, but like if she's saying she's doing just like kind of these Hallmark TV, corny Christian movies. Not that the bad thing is I like Christian movies. I'm a Christian myself. But there's some jokes in there in this show that's kind of,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny that she's doing that. But
it's actually kind of a fun fact. Her values affected her turn on Dancing with the Stars in 2014 because she chose to dress modestly and also asked her partner to keep his abs covered. And it actually didn't hurt her in the competition. She made it to the finals and ended up in third place.
Yeah.
So next, Jodie Sweetin, who plays Stephanie. I guess the whole reason that she got into the drinking and the drugs is because she wanted to kind of escape from that Stephanie Tanner label. So
yeah,
she started,
she's like sweet and innocent. Mm-hmm. You see this a lot with child stars. They want to like, they get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. She's very rich, not rich, but cause I don't think they weren't millionaires from Full House, but she had some money and you kind of turned to a life of partying.
Yeah, so she was 22 when she first tried crystal meth, and she soon became an addict and whose life really got out of control. And actually at the premiere of Mary-Kate and Ashley's movie called New York Minute in 2004, Sweetin was seen in the restroom doing crystal meth. So I guess she eventually went to rehab in 2005, and she has her memoir called Unsweetened, which is actually really cool. I really want to read that, and I think I'm going to read that. Next, Mary-Kate and Ashley. They have this huge fashion, I mean, which is weird because I don't ever see any of their clothing anywhere.
They're like multi-millionaires, yeah. Though. It's huge.
But they did so many movies, books, I mean, games for Nintendo and PlayStation, dolls.
Did you have the Mary-Kate and Ashley dolls?
No, but I had the game. I think it was for I think I had the one for Nintendo, the game, where you got to, like, pick out their outfits, I think is what the game was.
Okay.
Stop it. I was a fan. I loved them, and I was in the Mary Kay and Ashley fan club.
You were not.
I got stuff mailed to me. Oh, yeah, I was so obsessed with
them. That's funny.
I loved their videos. We have Lori Loughlin.
She really, I think, has acted the most, well, other than John Stamos. A lot of them, like Danny, I keep calling them by their character names. Bob Saget didn't really act anymore. Jodie Sweetin didn't really act anymore. She acted regularly,
yeah,
pretty much.
She's in Summerland.
She was on 90210.
90210. She married fashion designer Massimo Giannulli.
Sounds Italian.
I guess he's like a Target.
So he designs clothes for Target or something?
And she now has two daughters and a stepson.
I thought I read somewhere that she was divorced, though, now.
I don't know. This is all updated. She might be. Who knows?
Last, we have Andrea Barber, who I think is probably your favorite.
She
is. Played Kimmy with her crazy crazy outgoing personality and her flashy wardrobe. Barber is, like, super smart. You wouldn't... People, a lot of times people will associate a character... Like, we're talking about how, you know, Danny Tanner, how Bob Saget wanted to get away from that because everyone thought that was who he was. People will watch Kimmy and think that here's a person who isn't the smartest person and is really kind of quirky. She's super smart. She actually got a master's degree in women's studies from the University of York in England. She went to Whittier College. She actually studied abroad in Denmark and got an international experience that inspired her so much that she actually now works for Whittier College as assistant to the director of international programs. The thing I love about her is that, and you were telling me about this, and I didn't know this before, is that she's really actually best friends with Candace Cameron Bure. Like, not only are DJ and Kimmy friends on the show, but they're actually friends in real life. That's kind of cool.
I want to be friends with her.
And, let's see, she is an avid runner. She does marathons, which I could never do, because I've been running for that long. She has two children, Tate and son Tate and daughter Felicity. And she actually did an interview a couple years ago where she talked about how she didn't agree with the way that Danny favored Michelle. And so she actually, growing up and then having kids, she learned to parent pretty much the opposite of what Danny did in the show, which is kind of funny. And she really, other than being a mom and running and being friends, you know, with Candace Cameron, and as far as acting and stuff, she hasn't done anything other than go to school and whatnot and working for the college. And so she did a couple quick little things here and there on YouTube, and she did a video in 2012 on Funny or Die with Dave Coulet. But Fuller House is really her first full-time acting gig. Not that it's full-time, but her first big acting gig.
Which is weird because I think she's such a good actress. I think she's
really, really good. She's absolutely really good. Yeah, she's got that quirky personality, and you gotta...
I love her personality. I just love it.
I don't think that would work with anybody else playing Kimmy.
No,
I think she is Kimmy.
She makes the show. I'm sorry. She makes the show.
I don't know about that.
Oh, she does. Can you picture Full House without Kimmy Gibbler?
I can't.
No.
But I also can't picture Full House without Uncle Jesse.
I know, but Kimmy is, she's the extra, like, happiness. Like, the stuff that makes you laugh more. I don't know.
Okay, you got it, dude.
Cut it out.
Okay, I'm done. We're going to tell catchphrases now? That's rude.
Have mercy.
Yeah.
That's rude.
So rude.
It's how rude.
How rude. What
you call yourself a Full House fan.
Hey, now.
You're fired.
Hey. Okay, Donald Trump. So, yeah, if you guys have any memories, any thoughts on Full House, we love it. If you have any thoughts on Fuller House, if you guys have watched it yet, please write into us. Please share something on Facebook. Also, we really need more reviews on iTunes.
We do have some. We've gotten a few.
Yeah, we got one that we want to kind of highlight today before we get done here. And we want to give a shout out to him and his podcast. Because I am so addicted to this podcast.
It's good.
It is really good.
Yes.
And we're actually going to record a segment at some point, actually probably tonight, that we're going to send to him because he actually does a listener call-in thing, which gave me an idea. Let me shout this idea out. And Amy's not heard this yet. This is me just shooting from the hip. If you guys have memories, 90s memories, like we're doing Full House today. So let's say in the next week or so before we release the next one, if you have a memory of Full House,
which is like a memory of the day,
or your opinion on Fuller House, and you want to call in, you want to record,
we don't have a phone number.
We need to get a number.
Can't dial our digits.
You can set it up so you can get a number on the website that people can call in and leave us messages.
Oh my God. Yeah. Really?
We'll try to set that up for maybe by the end of the month.
Oh, I'm doing it.
But for now, if you have a microphone or a webcam or anything and you want to record a...
Even you can record voice clips with
your iPhone. If you want to record a message for us about Full House or Fuller House or any topic that we talk about and send it in to us, email it to... What is it again?
GenerationYPodcast@gmail.com. Even if it's just like a favorite 90s memory.
We will play something. You know, we'll try to... I don't think we can fit all of them if we get a lot, but we'll play a few of them every week on the show. I think it'd be fun to kind of have that dialogue with our... Not our fan base, because we're not people that deserve fan. Not that we deserve
we
fans.
We have fans. We have
fans. Our listenership. Well, so we want to play stuff from you guys, the listeners, and we want to hear what you have to say. And
that's actually been requested quite a few times, so I'm glad we're going
to
do that.
To record something and send it in? So, yeah, we'll do it. We'll totally do it.
So I want to talk about this podcast really quick. If you guys like our podcast, you will like his. It's called Amazing Advertising, and what it is he talks about mascots.
Yeah, mascots, mascots. Or campaigns.
Like the Dell guy. The Dell dude, the dude you're getting a Dell.
He did an interview with the guy. Listened to that yet?
Yeah,
that episode?
He did an episode interviewing him. It's so cool. They're short. They're, I think, of like maybe 20 minutes
long. Yeah, 20,
long or
25
so.
Minutes. He did Jeffrey the Giraffe, which is the Toys R Us mascot.
Yeah, so go on over and give his podcast a listen.
He's done Snap, Crackle, and Pop, you know, from the Rice Krispies box.
Yeah.
So I love this podcast.
It's
this is like
really
right up my alley.
Podcast.
And he's got a great, like, I hate my voice on this. I feel like I don't have a radio voice at all, but he has like a great, like, not calming, but he has this like natural, like, radio sounding voice. Great podcast. You should totally check it out.
Yeah. Holds your attention.
Definitely holds your attention.
So, like, the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Oh, yeah.
Was an episode. The Frito Bandito. He did Halloween commercials.
Which was cool. I like that one.
Yeah. Christmas commercials. It's just the Kellogg's Rooster. It's a good podcast.
Yep.
So head on over there.
Yeah, definitely should listen to it. Subscribe to him. And we're going to at some point do a recording. That we're going to be in one of his episodes, because he does a similar thing where people can call in or leave messages about their memories of stuff.
And
so
that's what we're going to do.
And then we got another email we'll read next week from somebody else who has a podcast who also listens to our show and wanted to give us a shout out, and we really appreciate it, and we'll go over that one next week. But we're probably going to do an interview at some point on his show, too. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some cool stuff happening. I'm happy that we came back, and people seem to be enjoying it, so we're going to keep on keeping on.
I love doing it.
So We haven't done, I got sick and we missed like a week there. We were going to do, we'll do Zoolander at some point, definitely in the very, very near future. You and I haven't seen Zoolander 2 yet. I kind of want to watch that first so we can talk about that and then talk about the original. So we haven't figured out quite yet what our episode next week's going to be, but we'll come up with a doozy for you.
We have so many requests, it's not even funny.
You know what we should do? You know what we should do? I'm deciding, I'm making an executive decision right now. We should do SNCC next week.
Yes!
Want to do SNCC?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love SNCC.
So, next week we are doing SNCC. So, ahead of time, because everybody knows this, if you have a memory of Full House, I want you to record something and send it our way. If you have a memory of SNCC or something about one of the shows you liked on SNCC or, you know, your opinion of SNCC, send that in too. We'll include that stuff in the next episode.
Or even like a little mini short 1-minute-ish story about,
yeah,
like,
that's what I want.
I,
like,
used to get in my pajamas and eat my Dunkaroos and watch SNCC. Like, you
drink
know,
your,
like
drink
that.
Drink your Surge.
Yeah.
So we're going to do SNCC next week. So if anybody has any thoughts or if you want to write in a letter to us, we'll read them on the air, because just like TGIF, SNCC was, I think SNCC was just huge for kids from the 90s.
Yeah. I loved SNCC. Keenan and Cal. Oh, love it. We'll save all that talk for next week.
Right. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, so please subscribe, share us with your friends, you know, like us on Facebook, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.